Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Really refreshed and relaxed. I went on an almost 20-mile bike ride on Saturday. I was at some club basketball and then just locked it down for Masters yesterday. Just, I told my 12-year-old, this TV that you like to play your Xbox on, you're not even going to get near the remote today. You're gone. In fact, he was in a club basketball tournament yesterday morning in Avondale at 10 a.m. and they lost, which means that they were done. If they had won, they would have played at 3 in the afternoon. So secretly inside of me, he's at school right now, doesn't watch this. I was happy. I was a dad that was like, thank God they lost. We don't have to sit out here in Avondale. No offense to those of you in Avondale, but for me, that's like the other side of the world.
Yeah, you had to drive from Albuquerque to Avondale an hour game and then turn around and drive all the way back to the farmlands of Gilbert?
If a plane took off from Sky Harbor at the exact same time that I left my house, that plane would land in San Diego before I got to the gym.
It's just crazy.
If they took off at the same time, that plane would land in Albuquerque. It's forever. And I love my son. I love being in the club water polo and club basketball stuff. But gosh almighty, thank God we lost.
Are those miles tax write-offs when you're driving your kids all around the valley?
No. Unless I'm on the phone with you. That's why I call you at all.
Oh, that's true.
Call you at all hours, day, night. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It's okay.
Send texts.
It's fine. Matter. It's part of the gig.
Part of doing this thing. We have Gary McCord coming up with us at 10:20. So Gary is not on the Masters broadcast every year because CBS does not want, not CBS, Augusta National. Let me be fair on this, straight on this. Augusta National does not want Gary McCord on the Masters broadcast. But I like Gary a lot. Gary is here in the Valley. Gary does great things. He's also up in Colorado. He does a lot in the golf world. So we'll have Gary McCord with us at 10:20 to talk about the Masters. And we'll have news and notes with Paula Bovin. Paula is, do we have a problem, Eric, with Paula that I'm not aware of? Because she's got like 3 weeks left at the Republic, and then she's done. And I'd like to, you know, she's been coming on with me for 20 plus years
long
here in the
time.
Valley, off and on.
Long time.
I mean, she could do some stuff over here at the site. She could, I don't know, she could prop up the pillows over there and host a show or something. She won't return calls.
Well, you're the CEO of the company, so I don't really know exactly the back story of what exactly she's going to be doing.
The decimal point of what we give her is it's a large sum.
No, it's really not.
Oh, it's really not.
We're a startup.
Oh, so maybe that's what the deal is. Maybe that's what the deal is.
She's been avoiding you?
I don't know what the problem is. Huh. It's the not return text. It's well, and she's sitting on these like highfalutin boards now where they put her in these group conversations, these think tanks where she's leading conversation on where media is going and young people. And I don't know if they've gotten into her head. You know, in a bad way? I don't know.
Well,
testy today with her.
In a month, she's going to be out of school. So I'm sure she'll have much. And she'll be done at the paper.
I don't know.
Maybe she'll have time to return your call. Maybe.
It would be nice. Well, Paula Bova, news and notes. We have our TV show this week that we do every week, actually, on Fox Sports Arizona. We'll be taping that today and tomorrow. And we'll have 14 airings of that every week. We appreciate those of you that are part of that show, sponsoring that show. And those of you that watch every week. So let me get over to the Masters. We'll start there. Because the Diamondbacks is the big local story by far. Never mind the fact that the Suns just keep crapping the bed, but the Lakers keep winning. Like something's going on. There's something, some edict had to have come down from Magic Johnson to Luke Walton to, hey, it's okay if we win some games. Because you can't be as bad as they've been and then just all of a sudden, oh, hey, we won four in a row. I'm not sure what's going on that front. On the Suns' end, it's when the draft order comes out, and if they fall below three, I'm just going to have to crush them just of every day. And they don't care. They don't care if I crush them. They don't care whoever crushes them. They just don't. They're used to being hammered on. But gosh almighty, just sit Tyler Ulis down. Devin Booker had a case of stomach flu before the game started. He is too well to attend. They had a 40-point first quarter against Dallas. Dallas rolled over like dogs and one of their bellies scratched yesterday. It was awful. But the Lakers did us a favor here in Phoenix. When I say us, yeah, I want to see the Suns keep losing. But they just, they want to impress us, and I'm not impressed. You guys don't know the strategy of the whole deal. You just don't. Beating Oklahoma City and Dallas doesn't do anything. Anybody that asks the most inane question of, hey, so does this give you confidence coming into the offseason that you're building something? No, we got our heads kicked in again. Another year. There's no confidence builder in finishing with one of the worst records in the league. So if you're going to suck, just suck as bad as possible. I don't agree with Charles where I don't think that they're they don't have a plan. That's what he said, right, Eric?
They lack direction.
They lack direction. Well, you know, he's probably right on that here in the last week. The direction is lose. Do not play anybody. I will fire your ass if you win games. Do not win.
Yeah, the Suns are on a 2-game win streak at like the absolute worst time of the year.
Like, and so, you know, if the lottery comes out and they get like the 7th pick or something, it just once again shows the abject failure of the franchise. But when we're talking about, you know, the direction, look, I think there are some nice pieces here. It's not a bunch of veterans that can't play dead like we've seen the last few years. And I don't know, if you're Eric Bledsoe, do you really like sitting out here over the last 6 weeks? It's the right move by the team. Tyson Chandler makes lots of sense. Brandon Knight's not going to be here anymore. That was another missed opportunity by the team. So,
before this 2-game win streak, they had lost 13 straight. I don't know. I don't get it. But
do you think it's the NBA calling them up in back channels?
Yeah, it could be.
Do you think the NBA called the Lakers and said, you guys, knock it off?
It's a bad look for the league. I'm sure the league doesn't want all these teams seeing their best players and not trying to win games.
But, I mean, if you're the Lakers, why do you have D'Angelo Russell even on the floor in the final minute? We're making a substitution. We're putting a guy who has 2 left feet. He can't shoot. No chance of us winning. It was a close game. Have a good night. Turn your lights on as you drive out of the garage.
Yeah, we're going to put in Timothy Mozgov, who's been a complete bust and is getting paid all this money and still doesn't play on a team that's tanking.
Well, but it's like the Suns. Why are you playing these guys at this point? Last night could have been a great night for them, or yesterday could have been. Their game was before, if Earl wants to get fired, maybe there's that. Maybe it's Earl saying, you know what, I'm going to go down my way. I don't care what these guys have told me to not try to win. Maybe Earl's circle is saying, you know, go coach. There's some better opportunities out there for you. Maybe Earl sees the story that came out over the weekend of Steve Alford wanting to get a contract extension at UCLA. Maybe he's not going to get a contract extension at UCLA. Or perhaps there's other jobs in the league that people say, you know, Earl, if you get fired in Phoenix, it doesn't matter. There's going to be 10 other NBA jobs that come open that are in a better spot than in Phoenix. I don't know, but something had to have been said from either the league or Earl saying, screw it, I'm going to go down my way. And the same thing with the Lakers. You know, Luke Walton's not going to get fired. Luke's going through this rebuild over there. He's got Magic Johnson in charge now. Did Magic come down to him and say, hey, let's win some games because we don't have to have this player? Like Lonzo Ball, the Lonzo Ball story continues to be fascinating to me. I'm not sure I would take him now. Now he's opened his own sports agency. That's what this has gone to with Lonzo Ball. His dad is leading the charge, but Lonzo had some quotes over the weekend that were like, oh my gosh, this guy's like his dad in a certain respect. He's LeBron James with the global brand, except he's doing it as a 19-year-old, as a 20-year-old. It's pretty crazy. The baseball team, so 3 errors yesterday, but all the numbers that have come out point towards the Diamondbacks shouldn't be sitting here at 6-1, but they're hitting the hell out of the baseball. They lead the league in doubles. They lead the league in stolen bases. They're being aggressive. Their starting pitchers haven't had many quality starts. Doesn't matter. You take apart the Giants in Cleveland, and look, every year the Giants aren't very good to start out the year. And by the end of the season, they've got 88 to 90, 95 wins because Boch is over there, and Boch does a great job of managing. I just know this. I turn the games on, other than yesterday, and I have to know when they're playing. I have to watch. They play today at 1:30. I'm going to make some time to watch them play this day game today. They're really interesting, and they're fun to watch. And there's like a vibe around them that this haze that's been on top of them is lifting somewhat. Now, if they go 1-6 in their next seven, and they're sitting there at 7-7, it's still a better start than what we've seen. I mean, this is good.
And let's hope, Brad, the next couple months, we won't see something that we saw last week, and that's in the stands. Outside of opening day.
Nobody's there.
I mean, nobody is there. And when I say nobody, when they're announcing 15,000 people, there might have been 15,000 tickets sold, but those midweek games against good teams like the Giants, and nobody is coming, that is the backlash of being so bad for the last 3 years.
For so many years.
The fans just don't trust them. They need to establish that trust and put a good product on the field, and so far, it's been a great start.
But have you noticed something about the Diamondbacks? I know we need to take a break here for Gary, and we'll do it in a second. They have not really gone out of their way to do like, hey, come out and watch this game or that game. I'm not seeing much of them outside of their own baseball broadcast. So there's not a whole lot of outside promotion. Maybe they are under the radar just here for a bit, just to start the season out. So, all right, Gary McCord is next. We're going to shift gears over to the Masters. CBS golf analyst, good friend of the show. That is next. We'll talk about Sergio. What do you make out of Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth? Spieth going in the water at 12 again yesterday. We'll talk with Gary McCord, then Paula Bova News and Notes. I'm Brad Sismat. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sismat, Football AZ, 14 airings this week, tomorrow night. We'll have much more on that during the week. We turn our attention now to the Masters. Gary McCord joins us live, CBS golf analyst and good friend of the show. It's always good to hear Gary's voice. What did you make out of this weekend and what took place at Augusta, Gary?
I thought it was fun to watch over a four-day period where you got the wind racking the boys up and everybody having all sorts of problems, and then it just got perfect on the weekend. You had the show ponies up there, and you had a good tournament, a lot of drama. I thought it was an A across the board. Really good.
When you see Sergio win, what's your initial thought?
Long fight back with demons. You know they're going to come out. You don't know when. Precocious little child most of the time when he was playing. Leaning things on everything. I couldn't do that funk out of his own way, as you know, they stay in the business. You see the transition start a couple of years ago where he was trying to become his best friend on the golf course, meaning not always, you know, in golf talk, not always having that negative feedback. You know, why me? Why? How come that bounce? All that kind of crap. And it was fun to watch him deal with it and getting, you know, the bad break on 13 and then turn around and making a par and then 14 and 15 with the eagle on. It was fun to see him get over that hump for all those years, getting beat up mentally and by his own sword, by the way.
What's interesting to me is, and we're talking with Gary McCord, is so Justin Rose felt to me like he was in control of this bad boy till about the 12th or 13th hole. The 13 really shifted the momentum. Did you feel the same, that it looked like Rose was going to cruise?
Yeah, exactly. It looked like a two-shot swing.
Yep.
Off the tee at best. Justin got a way down there. And of course, Sergio, you know, tried to cut the corner with a cut. And went into a bush. All of a sudden, you're going, okay, that's bogey. And Justin's over the green in two. That's going to be up and down. All of a sudden, that was a giant flip right there. And then you could see him talking about Sergio, grab the energy and turn it into a birdie eagle or an eagle birdie on 15 kind of deal. So, or he missed one on 15, excuse me, on 14. So there was just a big flip right there at 14, 15.
Were you nervous watching this, or was it you enjoying? What were your emotions watching this?
No, just watching it play out. Looking at two guys that have always had putting problems. Justin with a new grip, and I talked to him about it earlier in the year. You know, he had to go to it. He was hitting everything off the heel. No compression on the putts. You got no compression. You can't find the line. That's golf talk, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes up with this deal where he can actually hit it in the middle of the face. That's pretty simple. Here's a world-class player. Couldn't even hit in the middle of the face. And now all of a sudden he's getting it going. But there's still those demons. They always come back. And you know Sergio. You've seen his demons with the putter. They surfaced a couple times, but you know, both of them righted their ship, and they gave us a really good, I thought, a really good end to that Masters.
Let me throw a few names by you. What do you make out of Jordan Spieth in the water at 12 yesterday? Just coincidence? This is going to be a problem. What do you make out of it?
Yeah, there's, again, you know, I love to talk about golf and demons, but there's things bouncing around. There's you know, these demons, these guys had a party hats on, they've got lipstick, and they're dancing around their heads, and they won't go out of there. Mm. They won't leave. And you don't know when they're going to surface. They always surface at that player's emotional peak. Wherever he gets to that point that he expects them, they come out, and they want a party. And we saw Jordan do it again. You're going, really? To take a nine and hit it back in the back there somewhere up in the hill or something. But get it over that water. Quit doing this. That was interesting.
Ricky Fowler coming up short. And now the narrative today is he is now in Sergio's spot of not being able to win a big one.
Yeah, he was playing good, too. He was my pick going into this thing. He's playing well, swinging at a great, fantastic short game, got everything. People behind him, that's huge there. And both of them fell flat on their face. So it's that, you know, that deal where it's a depletion of energy. One guy starts going bad, the other guy jumps right on his coattails, and they go into the emotional abyss trying to play the round of golf. And there's a lot to be said for that. Guy's playing well, you know, in your group, and you're trying to keep up. Guy's playing bad, you kind of play like he does. So there's something to that, and they got stuck on playing bad yesterday.
And there shouldn't be any carryover except physically, which is the biggest concern for Dustin Johnson, right? I mean, other than physically, him not playing, I'm sure, was, for him, obviously not where he wanted to be, but there can't be anything more than that, right?
No, it's just, you know, there's a couple of guys out there that are always burdened with drama.
Mm.
And Dustin is one of them. For whatever reasons, he's burdened with that kind of drama. Jason Day is the same way. You know, always got an injury. There's always something going on. There's always drama. And that drama followed world number one player on the last three tournaments he's played in, you know, up to the day before the tournament, and he falls down the stairs. Really? Really. That shouldn't be anything more than fix your back and get ready and go play the next one.
Hmm, interesting. Before I let you go, two things. So yesterday Jim Nantz refers to a viewer calling in about 13th hole and Garcia's ball being moved. Where you come down on viewers calling in, Gary?
I think it's very simple. There's the only way to get a hold of a field, one of our rules, field staff, is to go through the country club where they're having the tournament, and then say you want to go to the rules. You need to the rules. They have tables, but they have mobile homes out there. Just turn the phones off. Turn the phones off on Thursday, and then, by the way, on Monday, go ahead and answer the phones because you're going to be gone the next turn anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But it's simply turn off the phone. We don't need, you know, 15 million rules officials out there looking at everything.
Yeah.
You know, especially as we saw, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And it's inadvertent, and it's, you know, they call the rule on Friday. They get somebody through. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's too bad that we as a sport, we have to put our people in a position to succeed and not fail, and that rule is putting everyone in a position to fail.
Mm, that's good. And lastly, this is way off the beaten path, but I'm curious because the national story about Tony Romo now becoming a lead analyst working alongside of Jim Nantz. Everybody is weighing in whether they're in broadcast or not. You're in broadcasting. Do you think it is? It's a different sport. I get it. And you may not have anything on this. But I'm just curious, what is your view of somebody walking in cold that's never been a broadcaster being put at the highest level in an industry? Do you have a thought on that one?
Well, it's, you know, he's not going to walk in dead cold. He's going to have, there's going to be a lot of tape being reviewed, and he and Jimmy will go over tape, and they'll do games and games and games and games. So it's not like when I started, when I did it in 1986, I did just that. I went up for rehearsal, didn't know I was going to do it. Mm. And Frank Cherkinian, then producer director, sent me up to on rehearsal day. The cameras blew up and we couldn't do it. I was there for 10 minutes and next day I'm on national television. I had no clue. I had no clue who was talking to me, my left ear, my right ear, no idea what was going on. That's being thrown in the fire. Believe me, Tony Romo will have done a lot of homework with Jimmy prior to his on-air debut, and he'll be just fine.
I know you get asked this a lot, and I'll let you go off this, but do you think you'll be back in doing a master's at some point in time in your career?
No, I don't think so. I'm too old and don't. Remember, I just talked about, you know, putting people in position to succeed and not fail. If they put me back there and I said anything, literally anything, they could take offense to it. And all of a sudden now CBS looks bad. I look bad again. Everybody looks bad. It's just, it's not worth it.
Gary, as always, I appreciate your time and insight. Thank you.
You got it, Brad. See
Stay
you.
Well. There's Gary McCord. Always good to catch up with Gary. CBS golf analyst and a good friend of the show. That's good stuff there. We got to turn that for the site, I think, today. That's solid. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Paula Bovin, News and Notes is on the other side. Stay with us.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
It's Monday. It's Paula Bovin time. News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist for two more Mondays.
I'm not even sure. Sometimes through April, let's say that.
Through April. Through April. And nothing beyond that. Then it's over. It's finished. Done.
Nope.
How many years? 30? 25? 40?
Hey, it's been 20-something. I don't know. I try not to keep track of those things, Brad.
You've been a writer, let's see. You're a couple decades. You're 33 now, so you've been a writer for 33 years. So there you go.
How about that?
It's funny how that works.
I know.
Are you prepared for turning the page?
Yes. I mean, I sort of have a lot with the...
Seems like it.
With the ASU thing has been full-time teaching and working in their sports bureau, and I'm loving it. And, you know, I will plan to continue writing, hopefully some on Sports 360.
Wow.
AZ,
listen to that. If I could ever get together with you.
So I know, our schedules.
Here's the back curtain story on this. So we want to see Paula continuing to write. So, but she's, you know, she's in front of people, and you're sitting now, you're in this space where you're in academia every day. So you're sitting in boardrooms and you're on panel discussions, and you know, I get it. We're just down here chasing crumbs. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm just a big deal, Brad. You know that.
Listen to you. Okay. So, in all seriousness, the Suns get, I can't get out of their own way, and they win some games they shouldn't. The Diamondbacks, they have a very, very impressive start. I think everybody's surprised by that. The Masters was terrific drama between two guys, but the big names like Jordan and Ricky were just duds. And then you have Tony Romo that everybody and their brother seems to be hyperventilating whether he's going to be any good or not at analyzing football games. Pick any of those topics or something else off the board that's in your wheelhouse today.
Well, no question. I mean, Sunday for me was about the Diamondbacks and was about the Masters. And I cared about the Masters. Oh, you can hear my computer going in the background. I apologize.
That's fine.
I cared about the Masters because... Sergio was involved, and it was fascinating storyline to me because people have been very, I think, lukewarm about him, certainly in this country.
Sure.
Mixed feelings. But as his story began to unfold for people, the sort of the casual fans, of how he had all these opportunities in the majors. Thank you. That was the word.
74 times attempting to win a major.
Right. And so I think as that story started unfolding again for people, the sort of, you know, quotes that were brought up from the past of him saying, basically, I don't know if I can ever do this, some of the humility that's come about. I mean, people were loving Sergio at the end of this tournament. I thought it was a great sort of fan moment when they were chanting his name, because that's not something that has happened. And it was a great storyline. The quotes after him, you know, afterward were great from him, too. The girlfriend standing there, she had been putting Post-it notes all week up on his mirror to be positive. Ike was really interested in golf, and as I've told you many times, I am the classic, you know, if Tiger's playing, I'm interested.
Right.
When Tiger's not playing, or, you know, maybe Phil, I'm a little detached. But yesterday, I was kind of back in it again.
Well, it was one of the most tensest Masters or sporting events for me, actually tensest in the way that here is Sergio, who's won 30 tournaments, by the way, but he's just never won a major. So he's won the John Deere or whatever it is. He's won all these events that nobody pays attention to. And now I look at Sergio Garcia and I see this gray stubble starting to sneak in on him. So he's not the kid that he was anymore. And that speaks towards myself and my mortality and all that. Well, you see guys that were in their late 20s and whatever. He called himself the same goofy guy after it was over with, which I like that. I thought Justin Rose was everything that you would want in somebody who finished second. And I loved seeing the two kind of high five, backslap each other going down the stretch. I don't think we'd see Steph Curry and LeBron James patting each other on the backside after one makes a good shot in a championship. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, we don't always see that on the course. Sometimes you do, but there is a very much sort of this division, this line, a lot of times when guys are playing, I thought it was great. You know, Rose is just a class act. I mean, some of his quotes after about, I was sorry it wasn't me, but it made it easier because it was him. And in the sportsmanship, he's been kind of an issue in golf. It's been a storyline, right, the last few years, sometimes at the Ryder Cup and the Ugly American and all that other stuff. And this was a nice storyline for golf overall. So, I thought that was really a good day for the sport in general.
Okay, over on the Diamondbacks, we're talking Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist and professor at Arizona State. I didn't see much of anything out of Derek Hall or much of anything out of Ken Kendrick. And I'm fine with this. Opening day, maybe towards the middle of the season, the last day of the season. And if you hire and fire a manager, which they've done entirely too much of here recently, or general managers, I've seen way too much of the two of them. I like both of them personally. Mm-hmm. But for the first time in a long time, I'm like, okay, I want to know more about Torrey Lovello and what makes him tick. And I want to know more about Taijuan Walker throws at San Francisco. The 6-1 start, winning is a cure-all, Paula. I mean, it's fun a week into this. A, B, we're not seeing people that we shouldn't be seeing.
Right. No, you're right. And I mean, let's be honest, and I respect both of those guys you talked a lot about too. And, you know, Derek and all he does for the community and is setting a good tone with that organization. But right now, when fans think of those two, they think about the Diamondbacks losing. And, you know,
or a stadium.
Not necessarily. What's that?
Or a stadium.
Or a stadium, right. It's not it's unfortunately for them who are two very decent people, it's not what people want to think about now. So if they are stepping back or if they've been less in the forefront, I think that's great. I mean, I think, you know, if you make this right now about the guys that they hired, whether it's, you know, Lovello or Hazen, right now they're looking awfully good. Lovello's starting with this great, 6-1 start. You know, Hazen has made some moves, and so far it's hard to argue with them. It's obviously very early, but they cut nice figures, I think, as far as professionalism and the new era of baseball, which is a lot about numbers and intellectual sort of, I think my colleague Dan Bickley described it as an intellectual revolution that's overtaken baseball, and that's kind of what it is. And so the Diamondbacks are kind of playing it the way the other successful teams are now, and I think this image is good for this team, and I'm excited excited because we've talked about this as a fan of just good baseball, and we've talked about it, Brad. We've looked at this roster and have said, you know, there's still a lot of talent, and people around baseball have said there's a lot of talent here, but they haven't been able to make the most of it. So it's something.
I think there's something there right now, Paula. I don't know if it's a column or if it's a talk show topic, or I'm not sure where to put my finger on it, but I feel like the dry season of Arizona sports, that we've been out in the middle of the desert for a long, long time, literally and figuratively, and there's been nothing to look forward to other than the pro football team. And I just think that's no fun when everybody else is just off in the wilderness.
Right.
I think we're actually coming out of it. I like where the Suns are positioning themselves. It's easy to make fun of all their bad moves. I disagree with Charles vehemently that they don't know what they're doing or where they're going. I think that's ill-founded. I think the baseball team, sure, a 6-1 start has me optimistic, but I don't think they're as bad as they once were. The hockey team can't get out of their own way. I think MLS is going to be here in the next 4 years, possibly the next two. And, you know, over at Arizona State, I'm optimistic about where Bobby has the basketball team heading, and I don't think Todd's going to be here a year from now. So I think there could be a change over there. But wow. but big picture on all this is I think all the crapola we've been through, lack of a better term, in the last 5 years, I think we're starting to come out of it, from my view. Do you feel the same way?
100%. In fact, I was working on something similar this week about it. I mean, one, it can't get much worse, right? When
sure.
you look at the Suns and the Coyotes. So there is that factor in it. But the other part of it is some of the issues of the failures have been because they hadn't been rebuilding these teams. And so now that they've been struggling, we're talking specifically mostly Suns, a little bit Coyotes, it's about young players and rebuilding. And it kind of means the next couple of years will only get better. So I agree with you. I think, you know, yeah, 6-1 all home games, you've got to take a deep breath regarding the Diamondbacks, but it sure feels like they're in a better place. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to be positive about.
All right. Stay well. Make some time sometime. Be good to see you in person. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, Brad.
There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist for 3 more weeks. Eric, she said she wants to write over here at some point. I mean, I don't know if we can handle the ego. That's the thing with her. I mean, we're all about chemistry.
We are. We are. But I'd be open to having some writing on the site from Paula.
From her?
I mean, if she hasn't lost anything off her fastball, we'll see. I mean, the time away, you know how that goes.
She could be Tom Candiotti with a knuckleball.
Yeah, that's true. Has to reinvent herself as a writer? No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
We would love that.
I'm just kidding.
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Eric, did you see the Tony Romo thing where the Mavericks are going to have him at a game and he's going to wear a jersey?
I did see that.
Would we ever do that sort of thing here in Arizona?
I hope not.
Like Shane Doan wearing a Suns jersey?
I hope not.
That, you know, that just struck me as weird.
It struck me as Mark Cuban-esque. That's what it struck
me just, as. I didn't get that. I don't understand the point of that. I get it, David Johnson throwing out a first pitch.
Of course. Taking it back in practice? Sure.
Even though he almost threw it into the first base dugout.
Yeah, he spiked it.
Wasn't good. But look, Tony Romo in Dallas, I'm not in Dallas. Is that akin to Kurt Warner? Hey, Kurt, we're going to put you in a Suns uniform to say goodbye to you. We're going to put you in a Coyotes jersey to say goodbye to you. That just sounded weird. I don't quite get that.
And I think if I was an opposing player on another team and, like, the Mavericks trotted out Tony Romo for the last 45 seconds of a game, that'd be pretty offensive to me.
Yeah, It's like, why?
What are we? This isn't the Harlem Globetrotters. We're pro basketball
players.
No, this is the NBA.
Point.
This is the highest level of play.
I agreed with what Gary McCord said about Romo. There's been this whole, man, I cannot believe the amount of trees that have been chopped down about Tony Romo here in the last week. So he retired and he's going to go analyze games. Man, what gives him the credentials to analyze stuff? Just shut up. I mean, come on. This is just, it's really not that hard if you don't. And I think a lot of these people just don't like the Cowboys. They just don't want a cowboy telling them how to play the game of football. I've already said I think he's in for it whenever the New York media is not going to give Tony Romo a chance. He's going to get crushed from day one. And especially if he questions anything with Eli Manning or anything with the Giants, anything at all. It's not going to go well. And maybe that's what CBS wants.
Yeah, I wonder what sort of character they want him to be in the booth. Because we all got very used to hearing how Phil Simms analyzed the game over the years with Nance.
Sure, and he's a New York guy.
I wonder if CBS wants to stir it up a little bit more with Romo.
Don't you think when
it's a different voice, it's a younger voice.
Like you and I both agree, we do not watch the Sunday morning pregame shows.
Never, ever.
Ever.
My TV goes on at 10:01 a.m.
Doesn't matter. I don't care who's hosting NFL Countdown. I don't. And it's Sam Ponder, and good for Sam. I just don't care. I'm not going to change my viewing habits. I have other things to do. I just don't have time to sit there for 14 hours and watch Countdown and then a game and then another game and then a Sunday night game. I just don't. I have a life. I read where there'd been a push by some fans that wanted Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts to be the number one team at CBS. And I actually agree with that. Jim Nance in the last, and we've had Jim on the show before, and he's a very nice man, and he's a professional. Nobody's questioning Jim Nance, but there does come a point where, you know, there are other people that could do major broadcasts. And I'm sure he knows this. The Masters will go on when Jim Nance retires. It's not like the Masters are going to be people that will write about how it's not the same. That's just natural. There's always going to be somebody that's replaced.
I wonder if Kevin Harlan would ever be up for that job.
I don't know if that's in his deal. I haven't heard him do golf much. You like Tirico? I saw Tirico do the, and I'm sure I was like one of five people that watched it. I saw him do the LPGA on Golf Channel a couple weeks ago, over in Palm Springs. It kind of struck me as odd, and then it's like, well, no, this isn't really odd. He's got to go get his chops cut, and he's done golf before, but he's got to stay sharp. If you're not going to do it, you're going to lose the rhythm of it. But Jim Nance has had this marvelous run of calling a Super Bowl, and then he goes and does the Final Four, and then he goes and does the Masters. And we're in a day and age now where there's plenty of talented broadcasters that are out there. This isn't disrespecting Jim Nance. I'm sure he'd say the same thing. He's just blessed. He's lucky. He's got a great agent. That's fine. Tony Romo, is this the biggest gamble CBS is going to make? Heck no. This isn't the biggest gamble. This is just somebody who's in the booth. I still think that what we're going to get next season, there'll be a quarterback injury or two or three or four. And he's going to sit up there, and the competitive juices, like most guys, it's like when Kurt Warner first got out. How many times did we get the, well, maybe I'll, you know, maybe. There was like this whole flirtation thing with Kurt where he just had to get it out of his system. But there's just been an awful lot around Tony Romo. There's been an awful lot around Westbrook versus James Harden. I get it. We can sit here like this is sports bar radio or sports bar digital, and we can say, well, Westbrook has done this and Harden has done that. It's just enough. This has been going on for like the last 2 weeks. There's been some narratives in the NBA. But the playoffs can't get here soon enough. They're dragging to the finish line. We've already been through the is there drama in Cleveland angle with LeBron, okay? Already been through the whole KD returning to Oklahoma City. Already been through Russ doesn't like KD drama. Been through all this crapola rather than just, let's just get to basketball and let's see what basketball looks like. And to that end, I forget who suggested it, but it was brought up over the weekend that the NBA should shorten their postseason because these players are run down and just make it single game elimination. Just make it March Madness and do it in the NBA up into the finals where it's more than just one game. If you did that, you'd be taking away an awful lot of games. A, your workforce would not be working as hard. B, C, when your contract comes up for broadcast renewal rights, you could just charge a gob of money and maybe come close to what you're presently making. Like these sports are going to have their contracts come up here in the next few years. The NFL deal expires in 4 years. They're paying $50 million right now to Amazon this year to see if people are going to watch them stream their games on Thursday nights. Last year, they paid $10 million. It's an increase of $40 million in 1 year. This isn't about what it looks like in 2017.
So will the game still be on Twitter and Amazon?
No, game will not be on Twitter.
Okay. So the Amazon, Thursday night games just on Amazon.
But they'll be on traditional television.
On traditional, okay.
They'll be on traditional TV. Right?
Uh-huh.
So for those of us...
But digitally, they will only be on Amazon.
The digital platform will only be on Amazon. So a year ago, this wasn't even a reality. In year one, it's, well, okay, we'll do $10 million, $1 million a week. Well, now it's $50 million. Well, now, Eric, you got to look at this. 4 years from now is when the contract expires. By the time they get to when this contract expires, that rights fee is going to be $200 million, $400 million.
And how much will technology change?
And how much will technology change in the next 4 years? Correct. So, you know, you take a guy like Tony Romo, and he may not be very good. And eventually it's, you can go just watch our game only on Amazon. We're not going to put every game on every platform because as things are changing, as things go right here to this. Okay. So, you know, long and short of it, the business side of sports, if they were to eliminate the playoffs of the NBA and turn it into a March Madness type of format up to the finals, would you watch? Would you even be more glued in? Well, like when the Hawks open up against the Pacers,
it would be
in the first round series.
It would be a really big adjustment. It just, you'd have to completely change your mindset on how you watch the NBA playoffs. And how would the sponsors feel about, hey, yeah, so I know it was best of five or best of seven, but now we're shrinking that into one game.
That comes back to if you negotiate a new contract and the number is bigger. My fear would be LeBron James gets two fouls called on him in the first 2 minutes of a single elimination game, or none of these guys get anything called on them, and they're told you got to let guys play, and something happens and they're knocked out.
And would like the 1-8 matchup be the equivalent of the 1-16 in March Madness, where those games are slotted either very late at night or the first game of the morning on a Thursday?
Well, here's what you could do.
I guess there aren't as many teams, so they wouldn't have to slot them in bad windows.
There's not as many teams, bad windows, to your point. Raise the right fee. What if you open it up to every team in the league? What if you did open it up to every team in the NBA? So you did have a first round where the Suns ended up in round one playing against whoever has the best record in the Western Conference. If it's Golden State or San Antonio.
It'd be pretty interesting, I think, because you would have upsets. I think you would see a bad NBA team beating a great NBA team. We will not see that in college basketball.
Okay, so today, are the Suns a better team than they were in January, February? The answer is yes, in my view. They're better. They just haven't figured out how to lose correctly. The Lakers are a better team now. If you had a Lakers-Thunder first-round matchup, single elimination, you would have the people saying, well, what's the value of the regular season? I'll tell you what the value of the regular season is. If that one game is at your home building, that is value, correct? If the television number is bigger, you could rest some of your players. You could shorten the season. It's just interesting that the NBA is looking around at the landscape because they've got this 800-pound gorilla in the room. The gorilla is, we're not going to play our stars every game now. We've done all the analytics. We've analyzed enough. You guys are sucking the life out of our talent in worthless games in December and January and February and March. And for what? And so here just recently, teams just kind of wake up. Interesting time. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Hey, I did not talk once about backup left tackles in training camp. I can't believe that. That was a good show. Diamondbacks are trying to get it done today up in San Francisco. We'll keep an eye on that. Tomorrow we will be doing quite a bit of NFL draft in all seriousness. Not that we're serious very often. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. He doesn't do much that bug me every day. There is Eric Sorensen, our Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Jordan and Haley. Thanks for being with us.